I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome once again to the Productivityist Podcast. I'm Mike Vardy, and I've got a great show for you today. I have an interview with Tim Metz of Saint, which is a productivity device or a distraction stopper that has just been launched on Indiegogo. I started backing it. I wanted to get a chance to talk to Tim. He's reaching out to me from Beijing or in China. And just to give you some forewarning that he was in a diner or some kind of lunch establishment. So there is some clanking of dishes in the background and stuff, but we did the best we could with what we had. Again, thanks to John Bolstra for putting together the show. The interview is only about 15 minutes long. So what I wanted to do off the top of the show is just talk about some things that I've done in the past to kind of keep distractions at bay. I'm not a usual believer in devices and stuff like that to help me with that. And one of the reasons why I don't have an Apple Watch at this point, interestingly enough, I am looking at getting one down the line just so that I can, because I do see some benefits to it. And maybe that's what I'll touch on initially is the benefits that I can see of a device like the Apple Watch, which initially I thought would be distractions. And I still think it does offer distractions in a large respect, especially if gone unchecked off the top. Most people just grab the watch and then they start using it and all of a sudden notifications are popping up left, right, and center. But there are some benefits to it. I can definitely see the health benefits. I've read a post, and I'll put this in the show notes, from Jim Dalrymple from The Loop, and he talks about things like his fitness level has improved. He's lost weight. So, I mean, that to me is huge because I'm in a position where I need to start getting a bit better with that. And maybe this is a nice way to segue into the distractions that keep me from doing those kind of things is that, you know, I mean, no matter what distractions I come across, exercise has been a challenge for me. So I need to, maybe that's where the good distraction comes in, the disruption more or less. So I can definitely see where certain devices that can distract and disrupt you can help. I have a new device I'm actually testing right now. It's called Capture, K-A-P-T-U-R-E, and I'll also put that in the show notes. And it's more for memo recording and stuff. And I'm going to put that through the paces, especially while I'm in Portland this week. I'm heading off to Portland for the World Domination Summit. That's something I want to kind of play with because distractions could be a huge, huge thing. And devices, I don't think that they are the silver bullet. I think the approaches are what you need. And everyone's going to have a few glitches along the way, a few things that are going to disrupt them and cause them to lose focus. And when it comes to distractions, there are a lot of things you can do to keep that from happening. And I've defined this before, and I've talked about this, is that distractions and disruptions are two completely different things in my mind. Let's talk about disruptions first. So disruptions are things that happen to you that you have no control over. A disruption would be, you know, like the fire alarm going off in my house right now. If a smoke alarm was to go off right now, I can't ignore it. It's not something that distracts me. It's something that goes, I need to get out of this house right now. So that's a disruption. My child falling down the stairs, I've talked about this before, is a disruption. It's not like I can't leave the child there and go, oh, you'll be okay. It's not a distraction. It's a disruption. So in my mind, a disruption is something that you couldn't have planned. It's something that is going to keep you from moving the thing that you are working on forward. A distraction, on the other hand, is something that I believe, and this is my own thought process, is that it's something that that has prevented you from moving the thing you're working on forward, but you had a chance to prevent it from happening, that a disruption you just can't do. So for example, if my phone was to go off right now, I could have put it in airplane mode or put it on silent. If notifications go off on my Apple Watch, I could have mitigated that by saying, hey, I only want certain notifications. One that drives me up the wall is is when my cell phone rings, my iPhone rings, the Mac rings now, and I still haven't turned that off, and I should, but I haven't mitigated that distraction yet. And that's what it is. It's not a disruption, it's a distraction. I can stop that. There is a way for me to, and I've seen it happen so many times that there's no reason why I shouldn't. So again, I still have some struggles with that. Now the thing is both of those can lead to the path of diversion. And diversions aren't always bad. Let me be clear. Diversions don't always have to be bad. But what happens when you're distracted or you're disrupted is that you get pulled away from the thing you're working on. Then by the time you get back to it, you're like, okay, what was it? Some of you are, what was I doing again? Or you lost your flow. You lost that. You're out of that state of flow. And now all of a sudden you're like, well, now what do I do? And the pull of social media and email is very strong in these instances. Why? Because you could be Pavlovian. You could say, okay, well, I don't know what to do next, but email will tell me what to do. Or I can go look on Facebook because Facebook will incite a reaction or will make me execute some sort of action. This is, again, where I honestly believe that looking at your task list is so critical. I mean, yes, you can look at your calendar to see what's next on your list, or you can even, if you have a time chunk there, that would also work. But for me to know, again, what mode I am currently in. And the nice thing about a distraction or a disruption, especially when you pull your way out of a diversion and off the diversionary path, is you get to choose, you can have a better chance of identifying what mode you're in than what project you're working on. So if I'm exhausted after let's say I get pulled into a meeting that I didn't expect to be pulled into. By the time I'm done that meeting, I'm exhausted. I can look at Todoist, in my case, OmniFocus, Asana, Trello, it doesn't matter. If you've got a mode for low energy, I can then say, you know what, I'm tired or I'm brain dead, if that's the mode you're using. And I can say, oh, you know what, look, here are the things I can do when I'm brain dead or have low energy. Like, that's what you can do. So in my mind, mode-based work can really help you when you've been distracted or disrupted. Clearly, if you get distracted a lot, you've got some things you need to do. Disruptions are very different. And this is something that people say to me. They're like, well, I have a coworker that just won't stop leaving me alone. They disrupt me all the time. They don't distract you. They disrupt you. That's the thing. They'll say distract. Headphones. And I know that there was a campaign out there, and I talk about this in the interview with Tim, that had like a sign that says, I'm in the zone right now. And I think it's a noble effort, but I also think that people are, like any other sign, and I learned this by working at Costco, is that signs, too many of them, again, it's like anything else. If you see too many of something, they kind of blend into the background. I remember when I worked at Costco and the forklifts would go around. Now, if you've ever shopped at Costco, you can probably hear a forklift driving around because you've not worked there. But if you do work there and work there for an extended period of time, all of a sudden the forklift just blends into the sound around you and it's no longer a warning. It's just part of the environment. That's kind of what signs can be like. It's the same thing can happen, honestly, with headphones. If you've got earbuds on, first off, those aren't going to be a clear signal that you're working on something. But big, you know, honking cans on your head, they may work for a spell, but they may not work for the long haul because a cultural change needs to happen. And this is where it gets tricky, because if you're working for an organization that isn't interested in stopping the culture of disruption, not distraction, but the culture of disruption, which is, hey, you know, I'm going to get constantly disrupted by these people. That's where we run into problems. Jason Fried's talked about this too in his TEDx talk. You know, that's why a lot of people are so much better off telecommuting, because they can work from home and they won't be disrupted as much. But the problem with telecommuting for a lot of people is they can get distracted because they're at home and there's lots of things that can pull them away. I'm not immune to it either. When the summertime is upon us, as I'm recording this, and my daughter's home all day for the majority of it. And if she's doing something cool and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? If I go upstairs to grab a bite to eat and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, let's chat for a bit. That can turn into a distraction. And it's not a bad one necessarily, but I need to be able to pull my way back into my work afterwards. So there are dangers, but largely at home, you're distracted. In the office, you can be disrupted. At least that's my experience. And what I challenge people to do is look at that and measure it. And you know what? There's a way to decide. What I would strongly suggest you do, if you're having a problem with distraction or disruption, other than getting a device like this, which will only take you so far, is every time you get distracted during the day, make a note of it. And, you know, call it like the distraction disruption pad. And I'm just flying off with this. I have no form for this yet, but when I do, I'll make sure I share it on the website. But, you know, check off every time you're distracted. And just make a note of it. That's all you need to do is make a note of it. Just like you would a Pomodoro or anything else, X, you know, just make a note. And every time you're disrupted, again, knowing what the difference is, make a note. And I guarantee you that you'll see, once you can measure it, you can figure out how to challenge it. again, just like productivity has become, again, more a quantifiable game than a qualified game. You know, like the amount that you do in so many instances is more important than the quality of what you do, because you can measure quantity far easier. But if you can say, hey, you know what, I'm getting distracted 15 times per day and I'm getting disrupted 38 times per day, well, you've got some things you need to look at. Maybe it's the time of day you're working. Maybe it's the culture you're in. Maybe there's a particular person. And you can actually, in the disrupted area, you could put the initials of the person that disrupted you, or just the first initial or whatever. There's lots of different ways to do it. But tracking this kind of thing, this is where quantified self, I think, is more important. If you quantified others, where you can say, hey, you know what? I want to take a look at when so-and-so is distracting me or disrupting me. And I want to take a look at how often I'm being distracted and see what works. I guarantee you that if you start to measure that stuff, you'll be able to battle it a lot easier than just kind of saying, well, you know, it is what it is. And because the path of diversion can be a long and winding one. And it's kind of like going down, it's like Hansel and Gretel. You know, I mean, they initially left pebbles. And then one day he couldn't find pebbles, I believe. And this is, I'm paraphrasing. And so he left breadcrumbs. And what happened? The birds stole the breadcrumbs and they couldn't find their way back. More often than not, we leave breadcrumbs and we can't find our way back. Start leaving some pebbles. And better still, figure out why you have to leave those pebbles in the first place and maybe leave less along the way. All right. With that in mind, let's talk to Tim about the device that him and his team are building that's going to help you with your... with distractions and combating them. Here's Tim Metz from Saint here on the Productivious Podcast. Enjoy. I'd like to welcome Tim Metz, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, to the Productivious Podcast. Tim, thanks for joining me this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So Tim, you're based in China, right? Whereabouts are you in China right now?
I am in Beijing, actually, yeah.
So Tim is recording his on his end. I'm recording on my end. So we're going to, thanks to John, who's going to edit this whole thing together, make it sound magical. But speaking of magical, I want to talk about something that you have been building for the last little while. And as this airs, we are basically a little over a week into the campaign. You've created a thing called, it's called Saint, isn't it?
Yeah, Saint. Yeah, as in a saint. Yeah.
So it's saint.com. We'll have that in the show notes. And what, I mean, I saw this, and I've seen a lot of productivity tools in my time. I'm sure you have too. What I liked about this is that I've got this little red easy button here on my desk. You know, the old Staples easy button. This thing will replace that, as far as I'm concerned, and then some.
Exactly, yeah.
So why don't you tell everybody what it's about before they go jumping off and backing your campaign?
So the main idea behind it was indeed to combine some existing productivity elements that I'd been using for a long time myself. So one of it is like blocking distractions, like you have a lot of apps that do that. Then, of course, you have the Pomodoro technique and other timers, and you have a lot of apps that do that. And I was using a health tracker, like a Jawbone Up, last year with some friends, and it was quite motivational, I have to say, that you have this kind of peer pressure from your friends. So those things together made me start thinking about, can you combine that into something for productivity that makes a little bit more fun and maybe a bit less boring and more accessible for maybe younger people who don't want to read a lot of books and implement a complex system. So the first idea was just software, but then as I was talking with some friends about it, we said, well, why don't you add a button? Because that makes it, you know, else it's just another app and you easily forget about an app. So initially we just thought about a very simple button. But the more I thought about it and the more I read about it and about habit change and behavior change and things like that, the more I felt that a physical element would make a lot of sense. So that was really the main reason for adding the physical element. And then, of course, we started adding functionalities to that, like being able to see how far you are in your Pomodoro, in your sprint, being able to, you know, signal to colleagues whether you're busy or not. And we added in also a touchpad and a gesture pad, so you can kind of use it as for shortcuts for your productivity apps or other apps. But that's kind of how it came about. And we actually started the crowdfunding yesterday. So we're still in our first 24 hours, by the way.
Yeah, as we're recording this, yes. But by the time this airs, it'll be about a week in. So, that's okay. Because what we found, and I'm sure you've noticed this as well as you study the crowdfunding model, is that the initial start off is quite good. And then it kind of drops a little bit. And then as the campaign comes to an end, it rises up. So we're going to try to keep this this thing going so that you have a longer curve going on. Now, one of the things I really liked about this is it's not intrusive. I mean, there was, I don't mean to poo-poo anybody else's idea, but there was that sign that was that I saw that a lot of my friends backed that was like the do not disturb sign that was Bluetooth oriented. And I just didn't feel that it would work necessarily for me, more so than just having headphones on and stuff. But this is the thing is I've always said that you've got to make productivity personal again. That we've taken that's gone out of the realm of what we've known productivity become. And this device, you can set it up. Like you said, you've got the ability to have it open. Certain gestures will do certain things. And what I like is you mentioned, of course, and I'm looking at some of the press info stuff, the Organized Mind, which is a great book, talking about like how it's a habit building thing. Like if you start using it and you have certain ways that you need to direct yourself to get into either a sprint or into a particular app, that is almost, if not more helpful than having, say, a task management application.
When I was thinking about what is kind of one of the most important elements of productivity, I kind of ended up at like focus, because it's like no matter what system you implement or which apps you have, like if you can't focus, then it's kind of like fuel. You know, if you can't focus, then you know no matter how good your system is, you don't get anything done. And that was also the main problem that I saw around me working with people in different teams that I worked. So that was one of the driving forces or kind of pain points to solve, I guess. And then, as you said, of course, if you make a product that should help people to be less distracted, it shouldn't be a distraction. So it should be kind of non-intrusive and kind of fit into somebody's workflow.
Now, one of the things I do like about the product as well is, first off, you got a lot of good perks involved. I jumped in and did the $100, the $99 Saint for Life, and I know there, by the time this airs, that may not be as available, because I think there's only 500. But can you tell me what else is going to come along with Saint for those who are going to back it? I mean, Saint is just one of the things that you can get the device itself, obviously at the higher levels. And actually, tell people what the price point is, because most people would think that something, a device of this nature, is going to cost an arm and a leg. And that's another thing I like, is that you're not bankrupting somebody to try to get them to be more productive. You're actually giving them a device that's going to help them, and it's not going to break their pocketbook at the same time.
Yeah, so we worked, I mean, it was quite a challenge. We worked very hard to keep the price as low as we could. Just because also, you know, it's the first time you're selling such product. So if, you know, the lower the price, the easier it is, of course, to convince people to come on board and try it out. So we worked very hard on that. And indeed, the price is $39, excluding shipping. And then for that, you get the device and you get 12 months of the software, of the premium software. So that's kind of the main package, and then from there it goes up, and then of course, you know, you have packages with two devices, or for a whole company with like 10 or 75 devices, and then of course you get a volume discount. But then besides that, we kind of played around with the software. So we said, okay, if you can imagine, if you really believe in the idea and in what we're trying to put together, and as we think this is going to be a long-term thing and it's going to be more than just one product, I think we can build a whole company around it. I think it can be very interesting to take the $100 or $99 package, which then includes the software, the premium software for life. So you get that for free for the rest of your life. So that's an interesting one. And then we also added in one, if you're really optimistic about us, because we our intention is to build more kind of productivity hardware devices in the future. We have other ideas as well. So if you really think we might do well, there's also a $999 package where you will get all our products forever for free. So that's another one. And then there's lower ones where you don't get the device. For example, for $15, you get part of the premium software, and you get an ebook. So I've been writing quite a bit about productivity in the past year on my blog, and based on that, we're putting together an ebook. So you can also get that for $5.
So tell me what got you into the idea of productivity. I mean, I know you've talked about building the device, building Saint. But I mean, I watched the video and you say you're a productivity guy. What drew you to the realm of productivity?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm definitely not an expert like you are, I would say, but I have been very passionate and interested in productivity kind of since 2008, which was kind of, or 2007, which was kind of when I started managing a few people, and I kind of had my first my own business. And then I just very quickly, like, I couldn't handle my inbox and I was just starting to forget stuff. And then I wondered, I was like, well, there must be people who are getting more emails than me and they're doing fine or they're managing somehow. So there must be a better way. So until then, I just kind of figured things out. Like most people, I think, just you go about your day and you kind of build some kind of random routine. So I started kind of looking into that. And then I guess this is almost a cliche, I would say, but I found Getting Things Done by David Allen. So I read that and that was just, you know, a revelation in a way. I was like, oh, wow, of course you could do it like this. And it makes so much sense. And then from there, I just got very interested in the whole field. And, then I started reading a lot about productivity in general and always trying to, you know, kind of improve my system and my way of looking at it. Because it just, you know, I think in the modern workplace, it just makes such a difference if you are a bit better organized and you know what to do. And I kind of think also, as David Allen writes, it does make you also more creative in a strange, it sounds strange because you're implementing a rigid system or a routine, but it actually gives you the freedom to, you know, think more creatively and be fully in whatever it is you're doing. So that's how I kind of got into it.
Well, yeah. And it's been proven that frameworks and some kind of framework is necessary for freedom, because without it, you know, I mean, you're not going to be, you're kind of going all over the place. And I've read some of your blogs. I like the ethos that you guys have going on here. And one of the other things I wanted to ask you is about the software. So obviously the device is one thing, but the software is really kind of what's going to make it tick a bit. Now you talk about Pomodoro, and not everybody likes to use Pomodoro. So you've kind of made it so that it doesn't have to be Pomodoros. Your sprints can be whatever you decide them to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because personally, for example, I like to work in 90-minute blocks, which is kind of what Tony Schwartz, I guess he's the first one to really promote that or push that out there. I kind of like that. So I think there's different, and I think there's also programmers who like to work for like 4 hours in a row. I'm not sure if that's really healthy, but it does happen. You can kind of, you know, you can adjust to your own time, starting from like a minimum is like 10 minutes, because I think if you don't work for 10 minutes at a task, then it doesn't make any sense. So it kind of starts from 10 minutes up to 4 hours, and you can set your sessions.
And what else does the software do? Like, what else can it, I mean, because I think that that's a definite selling point of this device, because I mean, you see that, I mean, most of these devices, they just connect via Bluetooth and then they're talking to another app or whatever. I mean, I've got plenty of them that have apps that I've been testing, but this one kind of, it's the app also propels you, like, I mean, you can set preferences, right, for where things will open and stuff like that. Is that kind of how it works out?
Yeah, and so you can you can set the time, you can block out distracting apps and websites, and you get points initially. And I think the point system is very interesting, because what we really want to do is help people improve their behavior, and in that sense be a bit more proactive than like some other software that's kind of running in the background and it gives you reports, but you don't really you don't necessarily really help you unless you dive into the reports and you look at it yourself. Whereas I think what we want to do is, initially the scoring system is very simple. So we just say for every 10-minute block that you focus, which means you don't switch to something that is a distraction, you get points. But I think very quickly we can make that score much more advanced. So we could start to say like, well, for example, if you only check your email 3 times per day, you get a little bit extra score. And then from there, from the data we get and how, you know, from how we see how people actually work when they're in front of their computer, I think we can start to say, okay, what is a kind of a productive footprint of somebody, and what is an unproductive footprint, and how can we start to help, you know, the people who have kind of an unproductive footprint to become more like the people with the productive footprint. So one of the things we'll ask when you sign into the software is your profession, because of course for each profession this is kind of different. And so based on that, we'll start to look and see if we can, that's kind of my mission, see if we can uncover like what for each profession is kind of a productive digital footprint. I think that's where we want to go.
So that you've actually started to lead into my next question, which I think will be the last one, because I know that we've got we're talking from a long distance away, and it sounds like the coffee's ready for you. tell me, what is the long plan for you? Like, what is the long term plan for Saint? Because Saint isn't just gonna, I mean, this is a device, but what is the long term plan for the company and for what you're doing?
I think the long-term plan is I hope we can really turn this into a company, and this is our first product. I think the software, I really see a lot of potential for the software. So what you get with this 12-month premium plan is not just what comes out in November, but it's also what we will be developing from there onwards, because we do have a lot of ideas how we can, you know, one thing I just described, but obviously we have a lot more ideas how we can make the software really kind of a helper and a way to help you become more productive and change your behavior. So I think that's the plan for like the first year. And then I think we do see a lot of potential developing more hardware products related to productivity. I couldn't exactly say what those would be, just sure. because I don't entirely know yet also, but we would, you know, we definitely, this product is kind of what we felt is what the best thing we could do at a low price point, but we have some ideas for like higher price points. So I think in 1 or 2 years, we would definitely, you know, hope to come out with more hardware products, further develop the software, and really build like kind of a hardware and software company around productivity. That's kind of the long-term plan.
Well, you're off to a roaring start. As we are recording this, the funding starts off as anything. You're asking for, it's flexible funding on Indiegogo. You're asking for $100,000 US. So far, you've raised a little over 6,500, but you're just literally in the first little aspect of the campaign. I'm backing it. Anyone who's listening, I mean, I don't normally back devices like this because of the fact that, you know, I've got an approach that I use, and I have, you know, certain things that I already use. I mean, this is not going to be a device that I necessarily require, but I see a lot of value in it, not just for others, but for me as well. For those instances where, hey, I want to do focused work on a book proposal or on a blog post or on a newsletter or whatever. So I think that when I looked at it and I watched the video, and I thank you for reaching out to me, I said, you know, they've got something here, and that's why I'm backing it. And anyone who's out there, check it out. I mean, the price point is right aligned with the kind of pricing that I generally charge for my stuff. My goal, as yours is to help as many people as possible and not kind of, lead them down the path where they're spending a lot of money on this. My goal is to have them get value and then make themselves more productive out of it. So what you've built, what you and your team are working on here is fantastic, and I applaud you for it, and I can't wait to see what happens with it, not just over in the short term, you know, between now and let's say the end of the year, but also over the long term. So Tim, thanks so much for spending time with me today. I know it's we kind of hooked up at the last minute, but I felt this was important to get out there, and I really want to thank you for joining me this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and really nice to hear that you like what we're doing. We're very excited about it.
There you go. I encourage you to head over to saint.com and back their Indiegogo campaign. If it's still active by the time you're listening to this, who knows? If just go to saint.com, you might be able to buy it because it's flexible funding. I'm backing the product. You heard why. I don't normally back productivity type things at this point. I've backed Priority Bicycles, of course. I've backed Stream of Consciousness, which is where I did my Beyond Productivity workshop. I've backed a lot of those, but not very many productivity apps or devices. This is one I believe in, and I strongly encourage you to check it out and see if it's something that you might want to add to your productivity toolbox as well. Thanks again for listening this week. If you're interested in hearing the Patreon edition of the podcast, which is a different version, you either get more material or you get a different podcast altogether. And you are getting a different podcast this week than what the Patreon folks are, because they're getting a completely different introduction than you did. The interview is the same this week, but the introduction was very different. So what I encourage you to do is head over to patreon.com/productivityist, look at the perk level, pick one, back the show, help me make the show better, help me, bring more people into the fold. John's doing a great job editing the show, but I want to, you know, be able to build the show even better. I want to be able to do a lot more with it, and I'd love your support to make that happen. If you can't back the show monetarily, no problem. Say you backed Saint instead, and I think that's a valuable thing to do. Then what I would love it if you could just head over to iTunes or to your podcast solution of choice and give the show a rating and review. Help more people find it, because the more people that find the show, the more people I can help. And that's exactly what I'm here to do with this show and with Productivityist in general. So until next week, when I talk about the World Domination Summit, because I'm headed there tomorrow for my fifth time, I will see, I want you to keep moving things forward. I want you to be more productive. I want you to stop doing productive and start being productive. So until next week, keep moving things forward.